You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy almost midweek, I guess. Happy almost Thanksgiving. Today, what I want to do is talk about the latest Timberwolves news, of course. And there's a little bit out there in relation to the final Wolves roster spot that they have available and who they may be looking to bring, or I guess more accurately, bring back into the fold. So I want to talk about that and then kind of cruise right into talking about the depth chart, where it stands now. There was an article by Britt Robson at The Athletic, who I love Britt's pieces. He does a great job. He takes the Wolves to task a little bit with the way that the roster is set up, the fit of Ricky Rubio, et cetera, and some of those things. So I kind of want to go through that piece a little and then also just talk about the depth chart as a whole. And then finally today, I want to relive the Jimmy Butler trade and what the Timberwolves ultimately got in exchange for Jimmy Butler. I know there's been a lot of talk about the return for Robert Covington recently, and rightfully so, but I want to go back a couple steps. And of course, Robert Covington was part of the return for the Jimmy Butler trade, but what that ultimately turned into, because we're now a few trades deep into that, flow of transactions. So I think it's an interesting time to revisit that in the wake of last week's draft, trades, free agency, and everything that's happened in the past really 6 days. So I want to get to that here on today's show as well. So before we do all that, though, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get podcasts. We're everywhere. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Going to be much more active on the Twitter account during the season this year. Planning to live tweet games and just generally be more active over there. So be sure to give us a follow. And if you're not already subscribed, please do. This is a daily show. If you've jumped on board recently in the last week or so, thank you, first of all. Second of all, this is Monday through Friday daily. We'll take a day off here for Thanksgiving this week. But training camp's around the corner. So this is 5 days a week here at Locked On Wolves. So be sure to subscribe and be here daily. All right. So let's talk about this final roster spot. The Timberwolves are basically full. I mean, you can kind of go through the ins and outs of last week. The Wolves sent out James Johnson, brought right back in Ricky Rubio. They drafted three guys. One, Leandro Bomero, is going to be stashed overseas almost certainly this year. They haven't officially said that, but it's happening. So they brought in two additional guys in the draft, and Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards. The Wolves traded out Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman, but they brought back Ed Davis. So that's still plus one on the roster side. Keelan Martin, the Wolves rescinded the qualifying offer. I mentioned that on Monday's show. So he is now an unrestricted free agent. And it leaves the Wolves with one roster spot to play with. They have one remaining free agent from their team. If you don't include Keelan Martin, they've obviously already re-signed Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez. The only remaining free agent that was on the Timberwolves last year is Jordan McLaughlin. And he is still technically a restricted free agent because he was on a two-way contract last year, and it's a two-way restricted free agent. So both he and Keelan Martin were initially issued qualifying offers. They're allowed to negotiate with other teams. The Timberwolves would have the ability to match any offer sheet that they might sign. Now, Martin is an unrestricted free agent. The Wolves still have their cap hold, the free agent rights still as a restricted non-bird free agent, a restricted former two-way player with Jordan McLaughlin that they can match any offer. So there's a report from Chris Hine at the Star Tribune in Minneapolis that the Wolves are negotiating with McLaughlin and they're trying to bring him back. And I mean, that's a great move. I talked about this, I think, on Monday's show, certainly late last week, that I think even with Ricky Rubio, Rubio is going to play a lot of minutes with D'Angelo Russell. There aren't any other point guards on this roster. So, knock on wood, if there's an injury, hopefully not, or foul trouble, and or simply just to not have, Russell and Rubio necessarily. I think ideally one of those guys is on the court 48 minutes a game, and I think that's probably the goal. But to give another ball handling option in the event of foul trouble or injury that's not Jarrett Culver, you need another point guard. And the Wolves would love to have Jordan McLaughlin back. He showed last year he can be a reliable NBA option with still a little bit of upside. He's older. I think he's about to turn 25, older in terms of, guys who were rookies last year as a four-year college player who then played a year in the G League. So the upside isn't immense for Jordan McLaughlin, but he knows the system. He's a good shooter. He's got a quick first step. He's a solid defender. He's a little undersized for what the Wolves are typically trying to do in the backcourt with guys that are 6'4", 6'5", and Russell and Rubio. But McLaughlin checks a majority of the boxes, and he shouldn't be all that expensive. For his sake, I do think he deserves to be a backup point guard. He's probably not the backup point guard on like a true playoff contender, but we don't know that. I mean, he might be. We're talking about like a 15-game sample where he was really good last year, and the first couple weeks of the season, he wasn't very good when he was at the NBA level. He had a solid year in the G League. And, you know, I do think it's very likely that he ends up back in Minnesota and he gets some run if Rubio or Russell gets into foul trouble, primarily would be his role. I think that he wouldn't play consistently, but he deserves an NBA contract, deserves to get paid as an NBA player and to spend the year, you know, all 72 games of the season on an NBA roster. And so that selfishly, I'd love him to be the depth at point guard on the Timberwolves team. But we'll see. And again, if he goes somewhere else and gets is promised a bigger role, then the Timberwolves will likely look to bring in a veteran type, you know, not necessarily Shabazz Napier, but that type of a guy who has been there, done that, can play solid backup point guards when needed because of foul trouble or injury, but is basically going to be your 11th guy on the bench or whatever. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. Again, the Wolves only have the one roster spot available. They do have some not fully guaranteed contracts. Jared Vanderbilt's deal comes guaranteed here in a few weeks. I really think they want to keep Jared Vanderbilt. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later when we talk kind of the web of trades that have been made over the past couple of years. But I think Vanderbilt's on the roster this year. I think that they'll allow his contract to become guaranteed. Naz Reid and Jalen Noel both have contracts that are not fully guaranteed. But again, both guys with some upside. The Wolves need Reid for front court depth. And Noel has some upside as a scorer, as a backup wing. Now the Wolves are stacked on the wing. So if there's one guy that ends up needing to, you know, get moved, whether it's in a trade or if the Wolves were to make a trade and they need to waive someone, Noel's probably the last guy on the roster right now, frankly, because of the structure of his contract and because of, you know, he hasn't been asked to do a ton at the NBA level yet. However, I still like his scoring potential. The Wolves just have a ton of wings now. So that's just kind of the status of the roster. So actually that segues us into what I want to do next, which is talk about the depth chart and who, you know, who's the likely starting lineup, who's the next, you know, who's the rotation basically through 8, 9, 10 guys, and then who's at the end of the bench as of right now. This is purely speculative, but training camp starts in a week. So it's a worthy exercise and it will kind of help us identify which players may or may not be the first ones to be traded. Inevitably, Rosas is going to make some more moves. And how does this depth chart look? I want to talk about Britt Robson's article at The Athletic and his take on the current status of the roster and the moves that the Wolves have made. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Built Go. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, but it's not only a workout gel. It also, you could treat it like a 5-hour energy, but it does not have the same crash feeling at the end. It's natural. It's better for your body. It's kind of like drinking a Monster, but with a third the caffeine and better results. I rely on Built Go to get me through my day-to-day, my day job, my podcast, blogging, family, everything that happens on a regular day. Built Go is important to help me break through mental and physical walls. It's easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase, your golf bag, your computer bag, your pocket, whatever you got to do to take it with you. And again, really just get through your day. There's three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing. It gets into your system fast and is easy on your stomach. It's also loaded with beta alanine, vitamin B3, honey, a kick of caffeine, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, all that good stuff. Visit builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. All right, coming up later this week, I'm going to do those deep dives that I've been promising on the Wolves' second and third draft picks, Leandro Balmero, the Argentinian wing, and then also Jaden McDaniels, the forward out of Washington, University of Washington. We'll do deeper dives on those players later this week, what their potential roles could be in the future on the Wolves. Obviously, Balmero is not likely to be in Minnesota this year, but could McDaniels crack the rotation? Is he going to be in the G League? We'll kind of dive into them as prospects and their future roles in Minnesota later this week. So be sure to tune back in tomorrow, Wednesday, and also Friday. We'll take Thursday off for Thanksgiving, but Wednesday and Friday. All right, let's talk about the Wolves depth chart. And let's talk about none other than the great Britt Robson over at The Athletic and his article that basically was maybe less rosy than some of the other analysis you've been hearing about the Timberwolves offseason thus far. Of course, Britt Robson, his pieces, everything at The Athletic is subscription required. So if you're not, if you don't have a subscription, I'm not just going to read everything verbatim, but I will kind of hit some of the cliff notes here as well. But I want to start just kind of by looking at the roster as a whole and the breakdown. So if you look at the backcourt and the Wolves roster, obviously D'Angelo Russell and Ricky Rubio are your point guards. Your traditional wings, Malik Beasley is going to have to be a starter. Jarrett Culver and Josh Okogie are the other incumbents, and then you have Anthony Edwards. That's effectively four guys who are all going to be expecting kind of, you know, six man to starter type level minutes, not including Rubio and Russell. So we're talking, again, one more time, Beasley, who just signed a $60 million contract, Anthony Edwards, the number one overall pick in the draft, Jarrett Culver, last year's number six overall pick, Josh Okogie, who's the longest tenured Timberwolf not named Karl-Anthony Towns. That's four players, D'Angelo Russell, Ricky Rubio. That's six players that are effectively going to be playing three positions, and only two of them can really play point guard. So there's six guys right there that are going to be at the top of your rotation, and you have to find minutes for them. Now you look at the front court. Obviously, you have Karl-Anthony Towns. You just re-signed Juancho Hernangómez for 3 years, $21 million, effectively. There's a team option on the third year, but $21 million for Hernangómez. And behind them, you've got Ed Davis, the veteran who you just traded for. He can play the four or the five. And then I'm also going to include Jake Layman in the conversation because the Wolves sought him out last year. They were excited about him. He got hurt a couple different times last year and only played in a handful of games. But he's on a great contract, can play the three and the four. So you have six guys that play the one, two, or three. You have Jake Layman who can play the three or the four. That's seven. Karl-Anthony Towns is eight. Ed Davis is nine. There's your nine guys that are part of your rotation, right? So that leaves out Naz Reid. He's your primary backup at the five. He theoretically could play some minutes at the four next to Towns. I don't think he's probably going to do much of that, but he would be your 10th man. So there's your top 10 guys. The rest of the roster is some combination of this year's first round pick, Jaden McDaniels, the 28th overall pick, Jared Vanderbilt, Jalen Noel. That gets you to 13 players. You have your two-way players. We only know of one so far. That's Austin Haggins from University of Kentucky. That would be 14. And then there's one more two-way player to come and one open roster spot. So 15 players plus the two two-way deals. So that's a chock full. We'll call it the top nine. And Naz, I think, is going to get an opportunity this year, depending on matchups, depending on what he shows in this abbreviated training camp and preseason. Will he get a chance to play over Ed Davis? It's tough to say. Is Ed Davis going to play the four and Jake Layman play the three and minutes get squeezed somewhere else, maybe for Jarrett Culver? We don't know. But this is a jam-packed rotation, at least. And I'm not saying that the Wolves are like a playoff team because they've got a stacked rotation. I'm saying that they've got a lot of guys who are first-round picks that expect minutes and for whatever reason should be getting minutes. Culver needs to develop. Josh Okogie's better than Jarrett Culver. He should be getting minutes. Anthony Edwards is the number one overall pick. He's got to play. So how does this all break out? And this is partly what Britt Robson writes about at The Athletic, is his take on, you know, what's D'Angelo Russell think about bringing in Ricky Rubio and bringing in Anthony Edwards, two guys who are going to want the ball in their hands, who are going to need the ball in their hands to be effective. I don't necessarily take that point with Britt. And again, I agree with many of the things he writes. And I think he brings a sobering sense of analysis to the Timberwolves fandom in the Twin Cities. But I think that bringing in a guy like Ricky Rubio will allow Russell to play off the ball a little bit more. And again, I was an advocate for the Wolves drafting LaMelo Ball. So obviously I think that can be helpful. Russell's going to get his shots. Even if he doesn't initiate the offense, he's going to get his shots. Rubio is also a solid catch and shoot player. D'Angelo Russell's really good at catching and shooting. Karl-Anthony Towns is fantastic at catching and shooting. Got a bunch of guys who can make plays for each other, and they're all average to above average catch and shoot 3-point shooters. I think the fit actually makes a ton of sense. You're putting another big guard who's a better defender than Russell next to Russell. It allows the Timberwolves to do a lot of the same things that David Vanterpool did in Portland with CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard with Russell and Rubio defensively. And you bring in a big like Ed Davis to help Towns and to help Naz Reid, to help potentially Jared Vanderbilt, Jake Layman, whoever's playing the four and the five, understand the drop coverage that the Wolves want to play in the pick and roll. And we all saw how terrible that was last year. Naz Reid really struggled with it. Towns often was caught in no man's land, not understanding. Towns, it felt like, always had this concern that he was going to get beat to the basket. And so he was dropping too far in his drop coverage and not able to contest. I mean, think about what D'Angelo Russell did for the Warriors against the Wolves. He dropped 40 plus against the Wolves, I think in November last year. That was basically all mid-range jumpers because Towns, Kyrie Irving with Brooklyn, anytime a guard who can make mid-range jumpers at an above average clip played the Wolves, they dominated last year because the Wolves had a combination of point guards who weren't playing well defensively, Shabazz Napier, Jeff Teague, and a big in Towns who didn't understand how to play drop coverage in the scheme. Now you're going to get a smart defender in Rubio, a big defender in D'Angelo Russell, who should be able to play in this scheme as long as he puts forth the effort to fight through screens, and Karl-Anthony Towns, who needs to step up. And frankly, that's the biggest thing this season, is if he steps up defensively, this is going to be a good team. They're going to be decent. They're going to be, this isn't an official prediction. It's too early for that. But I mean, right now, this roster, if Towns steps up and plays like the top 20 player he can be, top 15 player he can be, this is probably a 500-ish, if not a little bit better team. But it's going to come down to the defensive end of the floor. And so I think, to me, that's the bigger deal with adding Rubio, is helping shore up the defense, adding Ed Davis to do the same, adding that grit that both those guys bring, adding the knowledge, the veteran presence, all those things that are largely intangible. Those things are really important. And they're going to be fine offensively. I don't think Russell's going to get mad that they have another ball handler. Anthony Edwards may get, I mean, he may be the guy that's left out in terms of using possessions, and he should be, frankly, based on his lack of efficiency in college coming into the NBA as a 19, 20-year-old. I mean, yeah, Rubio, Russell, Towns, Malik Beasley, those guys should all be getting shots before Anthony Edwards. And I'm excited to see what Edwards can do. I think he brings that size and physicality they otherwise don't really have out of their wings. You know, the other guys are going to get squeezed. Jarrett Culver is going to get squeezed. But if this team's good, I don't think many of these guys are going to care. There are going to be plenty of shots. Remember, this is the team that used the most possessions per game of any team in the NBA last year. How many threes are they going to shoot per game? How many shots at the rim are they going to get per game? They're going to play fast. Beasley, Towns, Russell, they're all going to average 5 to 8 plus 3-point attempts per game. They just are. That's the way this team's going to play. And Hernan Gomez will get a few here and there. You're going to have other guys off the bench that get opportunities. Jake Lehman, I mean, he's not going to expect a high usage role. And then Culver and Okogie are guys in transition that are going to, they're going to be running to the basket, not as much to the corners as say, you know, Beasley is going to be doing. And this team should have enough offensive firepower and use enough possessions to get up enough shots that everybody's going to stay happy. And I don't understand how Russell or Towns would get upset by adding another ball handler, defender, playmaker, and Ricky Rubio. Now, the depth concerns, could they use more toughness and size at the four? Probably, but remember how the Timberwolves want to play. Everybody was pretty convinced last year, you know, the Wolves wanted to play small. They started Robert Covington at the four for the first half of the season, practically. Obviously, they don't think they need too many big bodies down there, and I know that they weren't great defensively, but they were better defensively with Covington and Towns on the front court than they were with any other combination last year. The rebounding obviously suffered, but if the Wolves want to play small, then, I mean, Hernan Gomez is more of a modern day stretch four, so he fits there. But if they want to play small, they could play Jake Lehman at the four. I think that's probably the other option. But otherwise, you've got Ed Davis and you've got Juancho Hernan Gomez. They've got options that can play different versions of this style that they want to play, but they're always going to play fast. They're always going to jack threes. The question is going to be, how important is defense and rebounding to this group, and how much emphasis will Ryan Saunders and the coaching staff put on it? But it's all a question about this depth chart. And if everybody can stay happy, if they can get up enough shots, and I think they will, I think it's in a pretty good spot. And remember, this is not the final roster. There's going to be more moves. I would anticipate Jarrett Culver's probably traded in the next 9 months, whether it's at the deadline or next offseason. The Wolves are going to want to sell relatively high on him. The word prior to the draft was that the Athletic reporter in Atlanta, I'm forgetting his name, but he followed up on the Kevin O'Connor Ringer report and said that Atlanta was willing to do Culver and the 17th pick for the Wolves to move up to 6. The Wolves decided they didn't want to do that. They know that Culver is their last remaining valuable trade chip. They've already traded James Johnson's expiring deal. They probably don't want to trade Rubio this year. So it's Culver, it's future picks. You know, maybe it's a guy like Naz Reid or Jalen Noel who might have some upside, but there's not a ton of guys on this roster with much trade value that are tradable, that they're willing to trade. They're not going to trade Towns. They're not going to trade Beasley this year. They're not going to trade Russell. So Culver is their chip. Culver is their guy that they can still move. And that's why I think that's where I think they're at right now. All right. What I want to do next is quickly unpack the Jimmy Butler trade from a couple, I don't know. Yeah. I guess 2 years ago now, and kind of follow the pieces of that and where they stand today. All right, East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and the host of the fantastic Locked On Warriors podcast, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk Jimmy Butler trade. And I know this feels like we're in a time machine now, but I think with some of these pieces kind of resurfacing in other deals, it's important to note some of these moves and trace them back to the Jimmy Butler deal back, I guess, just over 2 years ago. So in November of 2018, the Timberwolves traded Jimmy Butler to the Philadelphia 76ers and got back in return Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless, and a second-round pick in 2022. They also traded Justin Patton away, and Patton actually got traded again this offseason. He's on like his fifth team, I think, since the Wolves drafted him. So they get back Covington, they get back Saric. Bayless was an expiring contract left after that year, and then a 2022 second-round pick, which is the more favorable of the Sixers or the Nuggets picks. And they still, I believe, they still have this pick as well. So the Wolves then trade Dario Saric last offseason on draft day. They agreed to trade him to the Suns along with the number 11 pick to move up to number 6. The rumor was they were trying to acquire Darius Garland. The Cavs took him at 5, so the Wolves got Jarrett Culver at 6. So Jarrett Culver is part of this trade. They used Saric to trade up along with their own pick to get to 6 to draft Jarrett Culver. So he is effectively part of the return for Jimmy Butler. Now, I want to be clear why the Wolves did this. Dario Saric is, of course, re-signing with Phoenix. But the reason the Wolves made this trade is they recognized that Saric was not, well, he was an okay fit with Towns and was an improvement in terms of the ideal fit compared to Gorgui Dieng or even Taj Gibson. But Saric wasn't a good enough three-point shooter and yet was still somewhat of a high-usage player. He was an okay three-point shooter. He's kind of that 32-33% range, but you needed him to be a few points better. He wanted to play in the post. He was a good passer out of the post, but he wasn't quite the playmaker on the perimeter the Wolves would like to have to truly space the floor and be a threat. And Saric wasn't going to be happy with a kind of a second banana type role. And so the Wolves didn't want to trade or didn't want to have to pay him an extension after last year. So they used him to move up 5 slots. I don't know that it's the best use of assets, but if you consider the fact that the Suns are now probably going to overpay Saric over the next few years, then it's not the worst thing. So that's why they did that. Back to the rest of the return. So Bayless left in free agency. That was an expiring deal. The Wolves got this other second round pick, and then Covington's the other piece of it. The Wolves last year at the deadline traded Covington and then several expiring contracts. Jordan Bell, Shabazz Napier, Noah Vonleh, and then also Kata Bates-Diop were all going to be gone at the end of the year anyway. So effectively, it was really just trading Covington to the Nuggets. They got back this. Well, Covington went to the Rockets. This is a 4-team trade with the Hawks, Nuggets, Wolves, and Rockets. The Wolves got back Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez, Jared Vanderbilt, Evan Turner, who was an expiring contract that ultimately is just being allowed to expire, and then the first-round pick that ultimately this year went to the Thunder. So unpack what the Wolves got. Now, we don't know yet if the Beasley and Hernangómez extensions are going to be good deals or if they're going to be overpays or steals. We don't know yet. Let's just assume that their market value, right? Like they're getting to keep Beasley and Hernangómez. They bought low on some guys who clearly have upside and played extremely well when the Nuggets won 54 games 2 years ago in the 18-19 season. They were key rotation players and part-time starters for those Nuggets teams. And then they got squeezed out of the rotation last year. So the Wolves bought low on those guys, extended them. They also bought low on Jared Vanderbilt, who was a first-round talent that suffered through some injuries, dropped into the second round, and he's played in 28 games over 3 years in the NBA. And could actually end up, we didn't talk much about him in the depth chart segment a minute ago, but he's got a shot at getting some minutes this year at the four. He's the kind of high upside, high energy rebounder, defender guy with some offensive issues that fits the profile of what makes sense next to Towns or kind of that front court toughness that the Wolves need, and plus a first round pick. So now we're looking at, for Jimmy Butler, you're looking at essentially Jarrett Culver, Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez, Jared Vanderbilt, and then the 17th pick that was traded to Oklahoma City for the 25th and the 28th, plus Ricky Rubio. What happened to the 25th and 28th? Well, one of them was packaged as a move up to get Leandro Bolmaro. So that was essentially half of the return for that. And the 28th was Jaden McDaniels. So if you want to take Bolmaro off the table, here's what the Wolves got back for Robert Covington. Or excuse me, for Jimmy Butler. They got back, and this is playing this all out. So stick with me here. This is out for Jimmy Butler. They get Jarrett Culver, Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez, Jared Vanderbilt, pick traded for Ricky Rubio, and then those selections they got with Rubio for the 17th pick were used to move up and take Leandro Bolmaro at 23 and then also pick Jaden McDaniels at 28. That is solid asset management. Is it trading a superstar for a superstar? Likely no, unless any of these guys, Bolmero, Beasley, whoever, becomes a superstar. McDaniels, maybe, who knows. But to get that back for Jimmy Butler, now the trade was initially made by Tom Thibodeau, so you're looking at Gerson Rosas as the one who maximized the value of Covington, maximized the value of Dario Saric, and could, I mean, you can quibble with some of those moves. I didn't love the Saric move at the time, but I understand why they did it for the reasons I already explained. And in the moment for Covington, I really wanted them to do more, but clearly this front office thinks that Beasley and Hernan Gomez are going to be more than fringe rotation players. Beasley's being paid like a starting two guard, and Hernan Gomez is being paid like a rotation four who's going to play next to Karl Anthony Towns. So this return is good if you trace all these parts back, and it could be great. But this number 17 pick that they then moved with James Johnson for Rubio and two more first round picks, that's another tentacle of this thing that we have to remember. So it's just fascinating that all this, the way that all of this went down, and the way that first Thibodeau and then now Rosas traded the parts that Thibodeau had acquired. And it's just fascinating to see how Gerson Rosas and his front office is just squeezing value out of every asset. And time will tell on the Beasley and Hernan Gomez extensions. Theoretically, they should be tradable, especially with those team options. Is the Rubio acquisition going to make a lot of sense? I tend to think yes. We'll find out. And those are all kind of the things that will finish writing the story of the Jimmy Butler trade that happened 2+ years ago now. Now that we're on to the next batch of assets that were acquired as part of that. So, and you can trace back, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of other opportunity. You know, there's some opportunity cost, some sunk cost in, I mean, you could play this game with Andrew Wiggins, right? The Wolves got Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love, among other things, but then they sunk how many years and how many dollars into Wiggins before they traded him for D'Angelo Russell along with some first-round picks, so or first and a second-round pick. So it's not like it's quite as clean when a guy's been on a team for that long, but Saric and Covington were in Minnesota for a short enough period of time, and the Wolves didn't sign either of them to extensions. So it's a little bit cleaner to do this kind of in and out, you know, here are the guys that ultimately this association of, oh, these guys are in Minnesota because of the Butler trade. I think that still works for this, for these moves. So anyways, it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out. Someday in the future, we'll come back and look again at the Butler trade once we find out how Beasley, Hernan Gomez, Vanderbilt, Rubio, Bolmero, how all these guys work out. We'll have a better sense for just how successful that Butler trade and then in turn, the Covington trade and the Saric trade were as well. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. A reminder, again, this is a daily show Monday through Friday, so be sure to subscribe. And if you enjoy it, please give us a review on Apple. That definitely helps us get in front of more folks, more eyes and ears. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.